What if I've sincerely examined the evidence, listened to the thoughts and experiences of others, and even tried praying for God to show himself to me, but I'm still not finding myself compelled to believe? I certainly don't want to fake it. Well, the way I look at this is you want to investigate, you want to hear what does it mean to relate rightly to God, and then it's something that you take as your personal pilgrimage at that point. And if at that point you don't find it to be real, you don't find it to truly be what you found the scripture saying or Jesus saying that he was, then I say, I don't blame you for saying I'm not following. I'm not going to follow somebody I can't believe in. But I would say to someone who thinks there still may be merit, and maybe the problem is that I have not searched correctly or well or hard enough or whatever, I would simply say this. The answer to how this person is going to find, if it is real, how they're going to find it to be real, is going to be a lot related to how they read the Bible. It's not that you read the Bible and your merit, God saying, okay, I'll be good and I'll show you myself. But there is a passage in Scripture that I found to be so true in my experience and many other experiences. And that is this, faith, which is what a person's looking for. And faith does not mean without reason. Faith is based on fact. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I found that when I am with someone who wants to seek, I'll say, if you want to have the best and the truly the best experience and hope of finding this, if it's real, you read a little bit of the Gospel of John every single day. I'll give you that challenge. That's why I give you the Gospel of John. I'll tell you a quick story. I had a man who called me from Virginia, 20 years my senior. This was a number of years ago. He calls me and he says, this is life or death situation. And this is a very respectable man. He said, this is life or death, Randy, help me. I said, what's going on? He said, I've got an ex-partner in my business. He's about your age, maybe a little older than you, but we've had a terrible fallout. It happened over a year ago. He moved to Atlanta. He bought his own home there and setting up a business to compete against me. He was probably the leading salesperson as my partner. He was the leading salesperson in the country in our industry. This guy is brilliant. He's scholarly. He's this, he's that. But said he has just called me. And he said, Jim, I'm on the floor of my living room in Atlanta, and I have a pistol in my hand, and I'm about to end my life. And he said, I have to do one thing before I die in a few minutes. I have to make things right. I am so sorry. We were so good friends for so long. I'm so sorry for what happened. And he said, that's just all I have to do. And my friend, Jim, says to him, please, I beg you, do not end your life. He said, my business has gone under. My wife and I are about to split. There is no reason to live any longer. And he said, I'm going to ask you one favor. I'm going to beg you. Would you call a friend of mine in Atlanta? His name is Randy. Here's his number. I can't make you do it, but I'm going to plead with you. Please, please, please. So the guy says, Randy, he said he'd call you. But I don't, he could be dead. You may never hear from this guy. But if you hear from a guy named such and such, please, please go and meet with him. And I said, I'll do it immediately. Well, we hang up, and it's not long. The phone rings, and it's this guy. He never says he's suicidal, a gun, or anything like that. He says, I've gone through some hard times. And Jim says, you're the right guy to talk to, and, you know, maybe we get together. If you're too busy, that's fine with me. And I said, oh, no, I'm good today. I'll come to your place. So I go to the very beautiful, palatial home, and I go in. Well, he doesn't know I'm a preacher. And I said, look, it's only fair to me to tell you. Did Jim mention I'm a preacher? Uh-uh. You're a preacher? Yeah. I said, well, what kind? I said, I'm a Christian preacher. You know, you go, not there. I said, all right, but I said, can I share with you a diagram that might be helpful? And so I showed him that diagram that I just showed you. And I said, you know, if you want to investigate, there are really just four questions that you have to investigate. Number one is, how can we believe the Bible's God's word without error? How can we believe that good people, including more religious people, deserve to be separated from God if they're not believers? How can we believe that Jesus is the only way to God? When I said that, he slapped his hand again, just like that guy. I don't know why people slap their hands with me, but he slapped his hand on the desk, on the chair there, and he said, No, I will never believe that. And I said, why you say that? He said, you see those books? And they were books on the coffee table. Eastern religion books. I've traveled the world investigating religion. You will never convince me Jesus is the way to God. And I said, well, I may not. He said, let's hit that right now. I said, well, that's actually week three. Thought I'd keep him alive for 3 weeks out of curiosity, maybe, you know. But I said, no, that's week three. And I remember, when I went through the four questions, he says, I'd like to do that. I said, I'll do it on one condition. If not, we don't meet because it won't be helpful. I want you to read a little bit of John every week. I really do. And I know you don't understand why. I don't care if it's just a chapter a day. But every day I want you to read a little bit of John. And when you finish the five chapters this week, I want you to loop back chapters 1-5 and read it again. Don't ever stop reading. I don't care if it's a little bit every day and we have to wait 2 weeks to meet. But then we'll come to the second and then we'll come to the third. So he was doing that. So the next week he came to the door and he said, can we go ahead and jump to that week number three now? And I said, no, we can't do that. And the next week he said, you're not going to do it this week either, are you? I said, no, it's next week. And the next week we did. And when we finished, he'd already gotten all the material, and it's nothing, just very simple, nothing. I said, well, this is your time. You know what I think, and I've given you everything I've got. Why don't you tell me why you don't believe and what you believe and so forth and so on? And there was this dead silence that went on for seemingly 20 seconds. And finally he said, I don't know what to say. I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't know why, but I think he is who he claimed to be. I think he's God. I said, really? He looked over his wife. He said, what about you? She was going through it with us. She said, I think I do too. Do you know that they both became followers of Jesus, joined this church, and in a very short period of time moved back to Virginia to go back into business partnership with his buddy? Last I've heard, doing fine, but I don't know. I hadn't heard from him in years. But I tell you this, there is something about reading the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You may find that to be laughable. Oh, yeah, sure, right. But if you really do, whoever's asking the question, whoever is saying, I'm not finding it, that's where I would go. And as I read, I'd say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me as I read. That would be my response.